Hello, and thank you for listening to the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. This unedited audio is taken from Skepticamp 2024 and was recorded in front of a live audience in Manchester on the 18th of October 2024. A video of this, and many of the recordings hosted by Skeptics in the Pub online, are still available on our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you would like to support what we do, you can join our Patreon. Find us at Patreon, Skeptics in the Pub, online.
On to the next one. So we are picking up now with Shayna Wise, talking about psychiatrisation and social media. Give it up for Shayna, please.
Hiya. So my talk is called What Mental Health Crisis, Psychiatrisation and Social Media. There are loads of mental health campaigns out at the moment, as you've seen in all sorts of places, on billboards, on TV, on the internet. You'll see all these different campaigns like open your mind, there's no mask for mental health, you don't have to struggle in silence, and so on. Trying to raise awareness, trying to destigmatize mental health, from businesses, brands and charities to workplaces and schools. And yet, despite all this awareness raising, mental health issues are dramatically on the rise, especially for young people. I've got here a couple of graphs. On the left, you've got the US anxiety prevalence for different age groups of adults, which you can see steadily going up. And on the right, you've got the percentage of children or young people with a mental disorder in the UK, split up into groups of boys and girls, again, also going up. So what's going on? Some people have suggested things like the impact of COVID, increasing poverty and austerity, world conflict, climate change as possible drivers. But could there be something else going on at a conceptual level that's causing the numbers to mislead us? This is where I'd like to introduce you to the concept of psychiatrisation. Psychiatrisation refers to the psychiatric labeling of social phenomena or deviance from norms. It stems from the idea of medicalization, which is when you define or treat problems as medical that had formerly been perceived as non-medical. It can be seen in concrete things like the rising use of psychiatric medication, the inflation of diagnostic categories in the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. Or it can be reflected on a conceptual level with things like the infusion of psychiatric terminology into everyday language, such as trauma, paranoia, or the interpretation of life events and experiences through a psychiatric lens, e.g. burnout or depression, which is the word that's cut off. As you know, these are words that we sort of throw about in everyday language these days. So perhaps the rise in the numbers could be due to more people considering themselves to have mental illnesses today who wouldn't have done in the past. But is this a good or a bad thing? To answer this, I'm going to look at social media, a place where a lot of psychiatrisation is happening. I'm sure you've all seen ads like this popping up all over your social media and all over the internet. There are quizzes you can take, videos to watch, apps to download, t-shirts and mugs you can buy, all sorts of merch with slogans like "cute but psycho," "She's a 10, but so is her anxiety." You've got this one I loved, "Get your ex back according to his childhood trauma." This video's not playing in the corner, but it's 7 signs you may have anxiety, teen edition, with this girl, like she's dancing around to music. So the trouble is, the more these psychiatric concepts become cute, funny, and quirky, the more they become appealing to adopt. They get so watered down that almost anyone could fit themselves into some diagnostic category or another. You can even see in this quiz on the bottom left, what's your ADHD type? They've got ADHD free as one of the options, so literally anyone they're encouraging to categorize themselves. So what's the harm in all of this? Maybe it's helping people to identify where they might have issues and try to find ways to resolve and treat them. Well, possibly. But what can also happen is that the more these identity labels are incorporated into your self-concept, the more you start thinking of yourself as an ADHD girl, a neurospicy guy, the more you are subconsciously influenced to adopt other behaviors that people with this label supposedly have. So you might have first identified yourself with a certain diagnosis because you had, say, poor time management. Then you find comfort and community in that label and learn that others with the same label also tend to suffer with, say, forgetfulness. Over time, you start getting forgetful too because you're subconsciously aligning yourself with the expectations of what people in this category are like. So the danger is that in the end, you can develop symptoms that you weren't previously experiencing. This is called the looping effect. If you think this sounds far-fetched, I'd like you to cast your mind back to, oh, now the video is playing, there you go, teenager edition ADHD. Anyway, if you think that all sounds far-fetched, cast your mind back to, if you remember, the case a couple of years ago when a huge number of teens suddenly began developing tics, when videos about Tourette's symptoms started going viral on TikTok. It also happened when videos about multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder began circulating. And teens started to report experiences of other personalities, or what they called alters, inside them, when previously these disorders were extremely rare. Another related issue has been termed cyberchondria. This is when people known as the worried well go online and begin diagnosing themselves with all sorts of disorders anytime they have any sort of struggle or discomfort. This can obviously happen with physical as well as mental disorders. As well as the looping effects and symptom development I just described, another practical issue this can cause is that it can put a strain on resources for those who seriously require medication. For example, you might be aware of the ongoing ADHD medication shortage in the UK, which is due to such a soaring rise in diagnoses and requests for treatments lately. Again, you might ask, can't these diagnoses be helpful to people? Perhaps it's good that more people are finding these labels so they can start to treat their issues and have a better quality of life. Of course, for some people they might be. But interestingly, studies have found that psychiatric diagnoses can have a negative effect. For example, a 2022 study compared a large cohort of children diagnosed with ADHD and a matched cohort of children exhibiting the same level of ADHD symptoms but without a diagnosis. They found that those children who didn't have the diagnosis had better self-concept and a better quality of life, as well as a whole host of other benefits like improved grades at schools and so on. The researchers in this study suggest that considering this, as well as the stigma and prejudice that comes with a diagnosis and the side effects that come with medication, the harms are likely to outweigh the benefits of treatment, especially in milder ADHD cases. Moving on slightly, what about the use of psychiatric terminology to describe day-to-day experiences? I've put over here some headlines that I pulled from Psychology Today magazine as just some examples of the way everyday stresses are increasingly considered to be forms of anxiety. So just as an example here, we've got five causes of morning anxiety, why highway driving anxiety happens, election anxiety is a thing, everyday triggers, that's another one I found. It was so easy to pull these headlines, just showcasing how more and more everyday experiences are being termed being framed through a psychiatric lens. When we increasingly broaden our concepts like this, coming to consider more and more mundane things as distressing or pathological, it's called concept creep, and studies have shown that this can actually have the effect of lowering our distress tolerance. For example, a 2021 study showed participants a disturbing video and found that those who held more inclusive concepts of trauma were more likely to experience lasting negative effects and post-traumatic symptoms such as nightmares. So to wrap up, I believe that the rise in mental health rates is at least in part due to this process of psychiatrization, which happens in a big way on social media. I'm going to leave you with a few suggestions of how I think we could slow or reverse this trend. Number one, I think we could focus less on labeling every little deviation from the norm, as well as consider who even decides on these norms and what counts as normal. Secondly, I think we should embrace our personality strengths rather than dwelling on our weaknesses, even perhaps framing the little quirks of our personality as unique things that we love, as opposed to want to therapize and medicate away. Thirdly, we shouldn't assume that the more we talk about mental health, whether by posting on social media or running awareness campaigns, the more it will necessarily lower mental health rates. Finally, we should stop believing and sharing pseudoscientific information like these mental health quizzes, videos, and apps, most of which research has found to be backed up by little or no scientific evidence at all. I think by doing these things, those rising rates of mental illness and the so-called mental health crisis might begin to look different. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shayna. Let's go on to the questions. First up from Igor. Is it better to overdiagnose or underdiagnose since the normal amount of diagnosing isn't achievable for some reason?
The normal amount. The normal amount of diagnosing. I think underdiagnosing, I'm really against the medicalization of everyday experiences, of everyday differences, of personality quirks. I think we should embrace difference more. I think we should stop locating the problem in the individual so much, which is typically what we're doing when we diagnose things, start looking more outside at societal causes. So underdiagnose, although I probably wouldn't class it as underdiagnosis myself.
Okay, thank you. Next one from Speedy Pete. Okay, I should ask this quickly. I won't, don't worry. Has anybody corrected for the addition of new diagnoses and the changes in diagnostic criteria to find whether the incidence of psychiatric illness is up?
People have attempted to consider... people have tested for that, yes. And what they have shown is that, again, there might be something misleading in the numbers whereby the number of psychiatric diagnoses has gone up, but the level of mental distress, if you simply ask people, how distressed are you, that's pretty much steady, which really, I think, shows what I'm saying here, which is that we're medicalizing more and more. The levels of distress aren't actually increasing that much.
Okay, awesome. On to Nadia now. Could it be that people don't adopt more behaviours associated with their self-diagnosis, but rather unmask due to more representation and acceptance?
It could be. I think that's one way of looking at it. And I think, as with most things, it's probably likely a combination. I just think it's important to notice that when are you going to know if it's one or the other, and how are we going to know which one is happening more? Because I guess they both kind of look the same and feel the same, and it'll hard to ever be sure which one is going on. But I think it's likely that it's at least in part going to be a bit of both.
For sure. Okay, last question, I think, from Anonymous. Does the fact that more people are being diagnosed with autism because we have a broader understanding of it as a whole effect, because we have a broader understanding of it as a whole, does that affect your thesis in any way?
More people are being diagnosed with autism because we have a broader understanding of it, or because we've changed what we define as autism and the way we frame differences. I mean, that's what I think we're doing. So I think that is my thesis. I'm not pro identifying everybody as autistic or neurospicy or ADHD or the many other diagnoses that at the moment pretty much 10 out of 10 of my friends have got. I've been given labels. I feel like most of us have got at least a handful of labels at this point. I think it renders them completely meaningless. So I think, again, we need to stop. I think what these diagnoses do is locate the problem in the individual, whereas time and time again, studies are showing that mental illness is caused by structural and socio-political issues. It's not located in your brain. It's not a personal problem with you. So, sorry, I could go on. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Shayna.
That was the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. For more skeptical content, including information about future talks, please like us on Facebook, follow at SITP on Twitter, or head to our website at sitp.online, where you'll also find a link to all the ways you can get in touch with us, including our Discord server. Music in this episode was provided by Thula Bora and used with permission. Until next time, thanks for listening.